Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, first this morning, dozens of concerned parents held an online meeting last night to express their ongoing concerns about unnecessary hip surgeries carried out on children. Families say they're losing faith in the Board of Children's Health Ireland and in how orthopaedic care is managed. Well, a clinical audit of surgery carried out on children for dysplasia of the hips found that up to 80% of surgeries were unnecessary in two hospitals. The Health Minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, is expected to bring the terms of reference for the establishment of an expert panel to review the cases in the report to Cabinet tomorrow. Let's get more on this now. I'm joined by our reporter, Brian O'Connell. So, Brian, you've been speaking to some very distressed parents, and some of them are angry about the timing, the communication around this audit. Remind us firstly what it found.
Well, good morning, Claire. What we know now is that at a minimum, 1,800 children who had hip dysplasia surgery are to be reviewed. This came, as you said, after an audit by a UK expert found some surgeons in Kappa and Temple Street were carrying out a high number of unnecessary operations, up to 79% in some cases. The British doctor who carried out this review found surgeons were using a novel technique which they believed was less invasive and could be performed earlier. The audit reviewed 147 random and anonymous cases across a number of sites involving 14 surgeons. The HSE said the findings were a very serious concern. In a statement, to CHI CEO Lucy Nugent said she fully accepts the findings and recommendations from the audit. She said she was sorry that impacted families were not offered one consistent and excellent standard of care across their service. Families, I have to say, Claire, that I've been speaking to over the weekend were dismayed to hear about the publication of the audit in the media on Friday and not directly from the CHI.
And you spoke to one of those families and they have two children. They've significant concerns now about how both cases in their own family were handled.
Well, this couple would prefer not to be named. They were told their firstborn daughter needed a hip operation and this was to prevent more significant issues later in life. She presented first with a problem with her feet and she had a hip operation when she was 4.5 years old. Her parents began by explaining to me why they were told their daughter needed a hip operation.
The head of her hip wasn't covering the ball and socket joint enough. So there was risk that she would develop arthritis and osteoarthritis at a later stage. The consultant recommended surgery at this stage. And the rationale being was that our daughter would have a 30% chance of requiring a hip replacement in the 30s and 40s. And he wanted to bring that down to the overall 5% population rate, according to him. We then agreed to do surgery to prevent a hip replacement in her 30s or 40s.
And what age was your daughter when the surgery took place?
She was 4.5.
When your child is 4.5, it's very difficult, I'd imagine. You're placing your trust in the hands of consultants and surgeons.
The consultants advise us from day one that the child should have the surgery done before she reaches the age of 4. Our child is approaching her 7th birthday now and she remembers
everything.
Almost everything. I suppose in layman's terms, as it was put to us in layman's terms in a consultation, it was literally to break one of the bones and pull it into her place and pin it in. Look, there's no need to tell you what I work at, but I'm not of a medical background, but I deal with an awful lot of trauma myself. Our child was out of control, unconsolable, screaming, wailing. Her mammy and daddy could not help her. Her favourite teddy bear could not help her.
So this is major traumatic surgery. Did it then in the months and say in the years afterwards, did you see any improvement?
To be honest, we didn't see any disimprovement or improvement. It was nearly the same, wasn't it, post-surgery?
We didn't see any issue with her hips.
Yeah.
Our issue was her foot was turning in a little bit.
Yeah. So the initial referral was for her feet. He x-rayed her hips then. And then we then found out that she had hip dysplasia.
Right. What's extraordinary here then, though, Brian, is that their second child then presented with the same problem and they were told again they'd need to have an operation. But then that case was referred to a different consultant and that consultant took a very different view.
After their second child was born, the same surgeon who'd operated on their daughter had recommended similar hip surgery for their second child, as you said. But following a consultation with a different surgeon, the need for this was later questioned. But not only that, Claire, this consultant who gave the second opinion also didn't agree with the surgery carried out on their older child.
So when it came to the second child, then the surgery didn't go ahead, Brian, is that right?
That's right, it didn't go ahead. And then they read last week's hip surgery audit, which found, as we know, that surgeons, as you said, in two hospitals were carrying out a high number of unnecessary operations, up to 79% in some cases. This has obviously raised serious questions for this family. They're waiting clarification from CHI to know if their children were actually included in that audit. It's worth remembering they were private patients in their case. They believe the surgery carried out costs their insurer somewhere in the region of €7,000. They have a lot of questions now that need answers.
We were referred on to another consultant. He basically, he sent her for x-ray into Temple Street, came back. Not a bother on that child. No need for any surgery. She's fine.
The minute that you got out of hospital, you rang me straight away distraught, saying, oh my God, have we put our other daughter through the surgery unnecessarily? What's gone on? The guilt that we felt. You take the advice from a professional with their expertise and knowledge and you trust them. And to know that we could have put our child through this unnecessary surgery has been leaving us with questions and sleepless nights since.
Were you contacted then when the review took place recently?
No, we weren't contacted at all. And when the news broke, it was us that contacted the hospital.
When you read the audit, what did you think?
There is 497 cases. Was our daughter's case one of the 147 cases reviewed in the audit? Was our daughter's surgery unnecessary? Does it carry long-term risks? We want proper review and follow-up for our daughter as per the auditor's conclusions. You know, the helpline that they've set up initially, we rang and it gave us no help. So like we are speaking from our experience, our personal experience, you know, our other daughter was then essentially near miss.
And you read things in that audit that made you concerned, obviously.
Well, there are a number of things that we, you know, that are contradictory to the reports we have from consultants regarding them using percentage marks, which the audit says shouldn't have been done. They're all contradictory to each other.
So we want proper follow-up. We want to know, was her case one of the 147 that was reviewed by the auditor? And we want to know, what are the long-term risks, essentially?
So they mentioned the helpline there. And what has Children's Health Ireland said, Brian, in relation to that helpline and also around when families will be contacted?
There's a lot of concern among families around giving any details to CHI through this helpline that was set up, Claire. Families I've spoken to over the weekend have expressed a lot of concern because they realise these calls are recorded. Some families I've spoken to want clarity around how information they may give to the helpline may be used. For example, some may consider legal action down the line. And there are concerns any information they could give without a solicitor present could work against them, as you could understand. Some I've spoken to as well felt that clinicians should have been answering calls on the helpline and they weren't in some cases. My understanding is CHI has technical support from HSE Live. So what happens is calls are being triaged and all queries they've committed to responding to. But when you call the helpline, callers are made aware at the outset that calls are recorded. Now, I wasn't able to get any more clarity from CHI around how data given by families may be used. I understand 200 calls were received over the weekend. CHI will be contacting families this week and they say they are being as open and transparent as possible.
Right. Now, we mentioned at the beginning that there was this meeting held with some of the families affected. It was organised by the Scoliosis Advocacy Network and the Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus Paediatric Advocacy Group. There was a strong attendance at that last night, Brian, was there?
Some 70 people attended last night. It was an online Zoom meeting continued quite late last night. Una Keitley, who's co-lead of the Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus Paediatric Advocacy Group, she told me about the meeting just a short time after it finished and what she and what many families want to happen now.
there would be high incidence of hip dysplasia and spina bifida. So unfortunately, and once again, this latest scandal affects our families.
How many people attended the meeting, Una, and what were the questions people had?
There were 70 people. So I suppose a lot of people were just really just questioning how this could happen. They feel that they've been misled so much by CHI.
Families haven't been told if their case was audited.
No. And, you know, the HIP report came out on Friday late afternoon. And why didn't CHI ask the families for their email addresses? So they could have been the first people to read the HIP report and not reading about it on a headline on a Friday evening.
So what needs to happen next?
They want to decide who's going to be on the expert panel, like what kind of qualification those people have. It's really important that they have paediatric qualifications, not just generalised orthopaedic surgeons. They have to have good qualifications to the same or higher standard than we have in Ireland. And they want a comprehensive chart review. They want a really in-depth review of their child. Like, the parents want reimbursements for their travel and childcare costs. These are, you know, more appointments. Not everyone lives in Dublin. They want a child-centric and a family-centric approach to this.
You've obviously read the audit and you've spoken to families concerned. Can you see patterns here?
It's the same thing. It's the gaping hole in CHI governance. There's been failures in governance across CHI. We've sat in so many co-design meetings, and particularly across orthopaedics. We said there's something seriously wrong here. And I suppose we're just so upset that this is now another cohort of children being failed by the same organisation. It's within the Minister for Health's gift to get rid of the long-standing members of CHI board, and it's within the members' gift to give us an inquiry that we have been shouting for years now, and it needs to happen for real change.
So that's Una Keightley. So Brian, CHI, what's the latest from them?
Well, they have a comprehensive statement on their website which sets out the background, the audit findings, it provides helpline information. It also quotes CHI CEO Lucy Nugent, who, as I said, fully accepts the findings and recommendations of this audit. CEO of CAPA, Angela Lee, also apologises in the statement for the stress that the report may cause, and they say they will be talking to all parents impacted in the coming days. The Minister for Health has said the audit very clearly states that there is a problem within CHI. Minister Carol McNeill said she will bring the terms of reference for the establishment of an expert panel to review all these cases to Cabinet this week.
Brian O'Connell, thank you very much for bringing us that report. We're also joined by Sinn Féin spokesperson on health, David Cullinan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Listening to all of that there, in particular that family affected and what they went through, also that meeting last night and the anger expressed by so many who attended it. What's your response to what you've been listening to?
Well, I've spoken to many parents over the last number of days, obviously, since the audit was published. And in fact, I've dealt with dozens of parents over the course of the last number of months since the audit was first put into the public domain. And there is a lot of anxiety, obviously a lot of worry, but also a lot of anger. We're dealing here potentially with 70% of procedures that were carried out on children's hips in two of the three children's hospitals that the report says were not indicated for surgery and fell below the required threshold. So obviously there is a very, very real concern that potentially hundreds of these procedures were unnecessary. I've dealt with many families, Claire, who got second opinions already. They moved ahead of CHI and moved ahead of the government, as they put it to me. They went and got their children's charts and their scans and got second opinions, only to be told that their child had not the condition in the first instance and the surgery was not required. So obviously all of this is really, really troubling. There are major issues within CHI. I know, Claire, there are excellent staff. There are very good surgeons, very good staff who work in CHI, and I feel very sorry for them. But we've had far too many scandals. We've had far too many reports which have identified management failures, governance failures, ethics failures and clinical failures. And we're now dealing with thousands of very, very worried, very anxious parents, and they want an answer to one question and one question only. Was the surgery carried out on my child necessary? And that's why this expert panel has to be got right. The terms of reference has to be got right. The criteria has to be got right. And of course, the panel of experts themselves have to be appropriate.
But you're satisfied that this is the right course of action for the minister to bring the terms of reference for the establishment of that expert panel to Cabinet next week?
Well, I said for a long time, and since the draft audit was first reported, that it was inevitable that this would have to happen, that each and every child's scans would have to be reviewed, because this was an anonymised audit. It only looked at a small number of cases. And obviously, it was never going to answer the question for all of those parents, was this procedure necessary for my child? So it is obviously necessary that there is an independent, thorough, deep dive review of each child's case and scans, as was put by Una and others. That's obviously what has to happen. I am concerned that the terms of reference is still not in place. And I said that when the report was published, because you heard from parents who are not just worried, but also angry about lack of communication. Letters landed with parents a number of months ago talking about the audit. No answers, obviously, to the questions that they had could be answered until the audit was published, as the government said. But then when the audit was published, there was made reference to an expert panel, but it is still not in place. Mm-hmm. And given that this has been in the public domain for months, it would have been better had that expert panel and the terms of reference and the criteria be in place and agreed at that point.
Now, a separate issue arose over the weekend. This report in the Sunday Times of an internal investigation by CHI, which found a consultant was referring public patients to his own private clinic and delaying operations for children for up to 3 years. The report in the Sunday Times claims this consultant was paid thousands of euro. This was via the state's National Treatment Purchase Fund. And the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, was on RTE Radio yesterday. He was saying he was shocked by the report. He was taken aback. This was the first time he'd heard of the allegations yesterday. And he even reserved his position on whether he'll be referring the matter to An Garda Síochána. Were you surprised at his response to this?
No, because I know that Mr. Gloucester has always said that if there is wrongdoing, that he will try and root that out. He wants a different culture within the health service more generally, but obviously within CHI itself.
But that he hadn't heard about this until yesterday, given that there was an internal investigation by the CHI.
And I think, Claire, therein lies the problem, that given the serious nature of what was in that internal investigation, of course, that should have been elevated to the head of the HSE and indeed the Minister for Health. Because what was reported was that a surgeon essentially devised a scheme to enrich himself, where he appeared to have delayed the treatment of children, placing them on his own long waiting list, and it seems the waiting list was at least 16 months long, and then referring those patients to the NTPF, which were essentially his privately run clinics, and making huge amounts of money. Now, that is an allegation. I haven't seen the report. Bernard Gloucester is right. The report has to be published. But I have to say, it again shows the absolute lack of accountability and transparency in CHI. There is obviously a very poor culture, and we've had a number of reports. The HICRA report, as you know, into the use of non-medical grade springs. We've had this audit. There is another clinical review ongoing into at least one surgeon. And they all point to very similar systemic problems: management failures, governance failures, ethics failures, clinical failures. And when they exist, and when you have poor culture, it does open the door for people to carry out procedures like this in the way that it has happened. But also this allegation of enriching themselves, I just think that's appalling when it comes to children's healthcare.
And have you been able to find out, and I know this only came out in the Sunday Times yesterday, but this internal investigation by Children's Health Ireland, what happened to it? Like, was anybody referred to the medical council? You know, what were the communications between the CHI and the National Treatment Purchase Fund? We know at this stage that Bernard Gloucester wasn't told about it. So what did they do with the report? Nothing?
Well, I reached out to Bernard Gloucester yesterday and asked him to give me a call, and I'm still waiting on that call, and I'm sure that he will. I want answers to those questions. Obviously, the Minister for Health has to answer questions. I don't know when the Minister was made aware of it, but absolutely, we have to first of all see the report itself. I think it is in the public interest that it is published. There will be a very real concern as well, Claire, that this potentially could be the tip of the iceberg, because I have been concerned myself for a long time about how the NTP operates, and not to do with any of the individuals, but just how transparent is it? And there is no application process for an individual to make an application. It's done through public hospitals. Obviously, the NTPF have to source then the private capacity. But if it's the case that this happened, and the allegation is that this particular surgeon devised a scheme to enrich himself, where he prolonged the treatment of children and potentially surgeries, like, that is absolutely unacceptable. It's despicable if that's what happened, and it may well be of a criminal nature and will have to be investigated. But I go back to the central point. If you have lax standards, if you have poor standards, if you have poor accountability and poor transparency, that's what happens. And it is extraordinary that a report of that scale was not elevated up to the head of the HSE. And again, I think that points to the systemic management failures within CHI.
All right. We're likely to hear more about this throughout the day. But for now, David Cullinan, thank you for joining us on the programme.